Thank you, everybody. Appreciate that. Thank you, Sam. Thankful for Sam and his leadership and always willing to step up. So thank you again for that. Yeah, I'm excited to go. Let's get this out of the way. I do have like a little bit of frog in my throat. I find it interesting as I'm getting ready to teach even at Growth Track later today. That's twice today and then a bunch of times in Liberia. I'm expecting big things where God's going to use me. So, but yeah, you can keep me in your prayer. It's just my voice. It's not like a head cold or anything else. It's just my voice, which is weird. So I didn't yell or anything like that. I just don't know what's going on. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just prayed right now in this moment as we look at this seventh part of our Set Free Sermon series. I pray that you would just be with us in these next moments, that we would be centered, we would focus on your word, and Lord, we would just, we expect you to move. We expect your Holy Spirit to fall fresh upon us, Lord, and I just pray a blessing upon each one is here, that you would transform us and impact us and change us from the inside out. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, all human efforts, methods, and plans are as futile as attempting to propel a boat by puffing at the sails with our own breath. And so when we're talking today, we're going to think about what it looks like for us as believers to live set free in the power of the Holy Spirit, to live a set free life and walking in the Spirit. When I was a young man, about 13 years old, I went to Knoxville, Tennessee. If you ever met someone from Tennessee, they really crunched down on that vool, Knoxville. I don't get that, but anyway, I was at Knoxville, and was at Knoxville with my stepfather's mother. It would have been my step-grandma. It's a long thing. I could talk to you afterward. I'm in Knoxville, and they had my stepdad's uncle had a boat, and I went down there to help them and do some work and grunt labor free. It was great. But anyway, I'm down there, and they have this boat, and one day it was real hot. And it was a pontoon boat, and I guess that's a thing in Tennessee. A lot of people have pontoon boats. You can Google that, too, if you want. That's fun. Anyway, the one day we're sitting on the dock, his pontoon boat kind of breaks off from the dock, and it just kind of unravels the rope, gets going, and it just kind of, like, starts drifting out and toward the middle of the lake. And my uncle is in his, like, step-uncle is in his 70s, late 70s. And he goes, there's no way I can get out there. I was like, well, give me a life jacket, and I'll just swim out there. I put a rope around my waist, and I swam out a long way, and I got onto this boat. And I get onto the boat, and I'm like, okay, now what? He's like, well, it's out of gas, too. I'm like, you couldn't have told me that before I swam out. And so there's no power on this boat. There's no power on this boat. I'm 13-year-old Ben. Okay, I'm scrawny. I was in like a lot better shape and with two Achilles. But I'm out there with a rope around my waist, a life jacket on, a pontoon boat in the middle of Tennessee. And I'm like, what's going on? So he's like, yeah, there's no gas. I'm like, how did I get here? How did I get here? So anyway, I wrapped the rope around me, tied it to the back, and I just trudged through that lake and trudged through the lake in my own efforts. And you wouldn't think a pontoon boat's heavy, but it is. It is. It's heavy, especially for a 13-year-old kid. And I got there. But it took all of my effort in straining without the power of that boat. It was exhausting. By the time I pulled that boat to the shore, to the dock, I was exhausted. You know, he gave me a Gatorade. I was like, thanks. You know, like, that was it. That's all he said. Here's a Gatorade. And I got up under the dock, and I sat there, and I'm huffing and puffing. I'm drinking the Gatorade. And he finally fills up the boat, fills it up, and then he goes out fishing by himself with everybody. You know. But my point is this. Here's my point to this story. Is that if we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, it's like pulling your life with a rope around it, just trying to, in your own effort, just trying to do it. You're going to be exhausted. You're going to be exhausted when you find, like, you might be in shape and you might have grit and Pittsburgh work ethic. And all those are good in and of themselves, but over time, you're going to be exhausted in your own strength. Jesus says, if you abide in me, you follow me, you have a relationship with me, I want to promise you the Holy Spirit, who will be your power, who will be able to get you through this life where you don't have to do it on your own efforts, like that beautiful song we just sang, that we want to be redeemed. Like that's what God wants for us, is he wants us to attach our lives to him and find the power in the Holy Spirit and not out of ourselves and our own efforts. But I'm afraid, and I'm guilty of this too, There's a lot of times in our own religiosity, in our own efforts, we try to do things on our own. Did you ever feel exhausted in your faith? But here's the great thing. As God wants to set us free, he promises us the Holy Spirit and his power to do it. And so many of us are just trudging through life right now, aren't we? In our own power and own strength against the currents of life. And we need the power, don't we? We need the power. Well, here's today. Here's the luck. We're blessed today, not luck, but we're blessed today to have an opportunity. So if you need that infilling today, we're going to have an opportunity at the end. We're going to have a prayer team come up. We're going to have a time of prayer, corporate prayer, to pray for God to fill us. John chapter 8, verse 36, this has kind of been our launch scripture, is that if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. You are free indeed. And so this whole sermon series, we're thinking about that if there's a freedom that is available now for us that is offered through Christ. And in through Christ, there's this power that's given to us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And that's where the power comes from, that we don't have to continue to do it on our own and go through our own rituals and fundamentalism and traditionalism and all these different things, but we can really tap into that power. So to be free means to be released from the bondage of our own efforts and our own trying and striving and falling short, right? It's to remove the restrictions. Do you have restrictions in your life right now? And God says, if you're in me, I want to remove those. You're free to move and go forward. You are liberated, you're unbound, you're unshackled from those things that so easily entangled you. And so that's what we're called to do, like as believers, as Christians, is that we're called to live this set-free life. And so many times we say it with our mouths, but our actions were tied to that stupid pontoon boat. And we're trying in our own efforts, and it's exhausting. And God says, I want you to be set free and released from that bondage. Paul says in the letter to the Philippians, in Philippians 1:6, he says, and I am certain that God, who began the work within you, so God, as you accept him, Paul's saying, he began this good work in you. That beginning comes when you first realize who Jesus was, and you said, I want to live for him. That's when it began. So he who began a good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on that day when Jesus returns. And so there's this continuation that happens within the believer's life when we accept Jesus, when we have a day, a time, or location where Jesus came into our lives. That's when that good work begins. The whole of our lives is a series of processes of molding and shaping and infilling of the Holy Spirit to shape us to look more like Jesus. And the great thing is that when we submit our lives, that's what's happening here, is that God is beginning this. It's called, there's a churchy word called sanctification, where it's this ongoing process of molding and shaping us. And his Spirit is giving to us as the power to do that. Because in and of my own strength, and in and of my own knowledge, I'm going to fall short, I'm going to get exhausted, just like you do. So that's the great news that we have here today, is that there's this continuation that God is at work. And there's more in us that we realize that God has for us to do. There's a purpose for us. There's a purpose in you that God, if you have breath in your lungs this morning, God has a purpose and plan for you. So it's that work that he began is going to continue on. And you're like, Pastor, I don't feel like it. I get that. But here's the thing. He sees in you, we see in you, that God began that work in you. So what does it mean to live a Spirit-filled life? What does it mean to live a Spirit-led life? What comes to mind? You know, when you say Spirit-led life, you know, it might be different denominational type things. It could be an image of a church setting. But really what it means to be Spirit-led is that the Holy Spirit is at work transforming our lives to set us free and to keep us free. He's continually molding and shaping us. We're not walking like we used to. We're not talking like we used to. We're not thinking like we used to. And then when it does happen occasionally, we're reminded of who we are in Christ, and we're putting that away. And so there's this thing, there's this continuation of who we're called to be. So being made in the image of God, being transformed and molded and shaped into his likeness, there's a process of imitation. Ephesians chapter 5 says, be imitators of Christ. That's part of it that Paul says, that we're to imitate what Jesus is like. Paul therefore imitated what Jesus was like and demonstrated to the church of Ephesus. But he says, be imitators of Christ. Do that But also, there's also this inhabitation that happens, this indwelling that happens within us of the Holy Spirit that gives us the power, that gives us this correction, that gives us this power that we couldn't do and the words to say that we never thought we could say. There's this, so it's both and. It's imitation and it's inhabitation of Christ and of the Holy Spirit. And so it's more than just behavior modification, because it's not just being nice and good, right? That's what a lot of people think, that being a Christian is just being good and not, you know, drinking and swearing and doing all this stuff. But it's not just that. That's part of it, but that's not it, you know? But we're called to be transformed and filled with the Holy Spirit and to walk in His ways. That's what we're called to be. So there's a difference between being and doing, right? Be holy as I am holy, as it says in the scripture, 1 Peter 1. That we're called to be holy, which means this. It means to be set apart. You ever hear someone describe a Christian as a holy roller? Holier than thou? You ever hear? It's a kind of a derogatory description, right? It's not to be arrogant, but it's a mentality and a shift that happens when the Holy Spirit is in us, is that we're called to be set apart, that our lives, the way we talk, the way we live, the way we treat our spouse, our kids, that should be different than the rest of the world. What the world sees and what the world needs to see is that the Christians are living differently, holy lives. That's what the world needs to see from us. We're not doing it. And so most Christians are good and moral and loving people and nice people. But here's the thing. I see so many Christians that are also missing that Holy Spirit-led life, that the power comes from the Holy Spirit in their lives. And it's so much more that God gives us. And so being led in the Spirit provides us, and here's our big idea, freedom from sin. Freedom from sin. Does that mean you're not going to sin? I'm not saying that. I'm saying becoming slaves to sin. There's the fruit of the Spirit. That singular word, fruit. I preached one time when I was a young man. An old-timer pastor came up and was like, Ben, it's not fruits. It's fruit of the Spirit. I'm like, I'm sorry, my bad. You know, you are good and I am bad. You are good-looking, I am ugly. But it's fruit of the Spirit. So when we're being Spirit-led, the fruit of the Spirit is what comes out of us. When we're squeezed, what comes out of us. And then here's the other one, is that when we're Spirit-led, we're being Spirit-led, we'll find our purpose. How many of you want to find your purpose? How many of you are still looking? And I'm still trying to figure out what I want to be when I grow up too, right? But when you're Spirit-led, you have a purpose, and God has a plan for you that if you just tap into it and get out of your own way, He says, I want to use you. And so this is it, being Spirit-led, freedom from sin, fruit of the Spirit, finding your purpose. Galatians chapter 5, Hodge and I were talking. He says he's been spending some time in there. You ever read something and where it pops up in different locations and then it pops up again in the sermon? I think that's God speaking. I really do. Galatians chapter 5, this is Paul's letter to the Galatian church. And he says this, 13 through 14. We're talking about freedom from sin. That's the stuff that we deal with. For you have been called to live in freedom. I like how it says you've been called to live in. Not think about, but you're called to live in freedom. My brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. And a lot of times Christians will use their faith and their, like a hall pass. I'm going to go out and drink and get hammered, but at the end of that night, I'm going to, you know, bowing down to the porcelain toilet, God, I'll never do it again. And they use their faith as a justification for that behavior. Paul's saying, don't do that. Don't do that. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Can you say in love? So it's important for Christians to demonstrate and serve one another in love. Not in attitude, not in a perfunctory, like I have to do this out of duty. But you're serving one another out of love because of why? Because of what Jesus did on the cross. If Jesus died for me, I'm going to live and serve for Him. That's what we're called to do. And so Paul's saying this, as you're doing this, use your freedom to serve one another in love. There's too many critics in the church, too many. Too much negativity in the church. There's no place for it. We need Christians that are going to love one another and demonstrate that to one another. And that comes from the Holy Spirit leading us there. Verse 14, for the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. And so Paul was reminding this church in Galatians, the Galatian church, he's saying, hey, this is what it's about. You're losing sight when you're getting all wrapped up in all this cultural stuff and all this church governmental stuff and all these different sins. This is what it means. Let's narrow it down just like Jesus did. When Jesus was trapped by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they said, sum up the whole 613 of laws that there are in the Old Testament. What did Jesus say? Love God, love others. Love God, love others. And here Paul was saying this, love your neighbor as yourself. This church needed reminded of why they're the church. And I wonder this morning, maybe we as a church need reminded why we're the church. Because we're called to love one another. We're called to love our neighbors outside these walls. And so here we are in 16 and 17. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Say, guide. Say it again. All right, then you won't be doing what sinful nature craves. The sin nature wants to do evil. How many want still to do evil? Nobody's raising their hand. I know where you are. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us the desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your own good intentions. And so we can feel that. We can know that, that there's this tension that's in our heart, and that's the sin we feel from Genesis 3. But there's also a power, and there's this, we're called to have this freedom from that. We don't have to give into that. We don't have to give into those mindsets. We don't have to give into the temptations. We don't have to give into fill in the blank. But we're called to live in freedom now. And so that's what we see here in Galatians 6. And so life by the Spirit is neither legalism. Legalism is using your church, your Christianity as this like holier than thou attitude. And some Christians do that. They're so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. But it's here's the opposite of that. It says that life by the Spirit is neither legalism nor license. Right? It's not a hall pass to continue to go and live like hell. But it's called for us to live like Christ. And so there's no middle ground between them. And so oftentimes, Christians live in such a way that they're kind of straddling the fence. I'm going to live this way and that way. But when people encounter us, here's a question for you. When people encounter you, when they rub up against you, do they see someone that is living a Spirit-led life? Do they actually see Jesus? Or can they tell the difference? Could there be enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? And so what I love about Paul, he's saying it's this, you're governed by the Spirit. So legalism is that it depends on my holiness. So if I'm going to be a Christian, it's all going to depend on how I live out my life and my faith. License is that we can do whatever we want. And it's so many times that we use that. I was a youth pastor. There were so many times, and I work with middle school and high school students. They would use their faith. They would commit and say something at this retreat. And then as soon as they got back into school, they would go just like they were before. And so here's the thing. We can say that about kids, but adults do the same thing. And so, but we're called to be governed, like letting the Spirit guide us and instruct us like a tour bus. He's the one that's driving us and guiding us and moving us along the path of life. But so oftentimes we don't let him do that. And so there's this superior law of grace that Christ calls us to, that he gives his Spirit that empowers us to do the things where we fall short. It's only through the Holy Spirit that we're able to do that. You can keep trying, and eventually you're going to be exhausted. Remember that image of me in the lake at 13? I'm telling you, I was exhausted. I was exhausted. And so oftentimes that's what we do as believers, as in our own efforts, we exhaust ourselves by legalism and this like license to do things there. But this power that we have and we're promised through the Holy Spirit allows us to make good choices, to make wise choices. We're able to do that. That when we're faced with a situation, that the Holy Spirit says, get out of that situation. The Holy Spirit allows us to not make decisions based on our flesh, but it's based on the Spirit's power. Maybe we need more of that. Maybe we need to ask the Holy Spirit this morning at the end of this message here, Lord, I need your wisdom when I face temptation. I need more wisdom in my life and how I handle people. I need that in my life. Would you give me more of that? Would you infill me and fill me up so that I may live a life that is good and pleasing to you. So many Christians have good intentions. Good intentions are going to leave you falling short. I could have all the intentions to go to Erie, and I have to take 79 north to get to Erie. My intention's like, I'm going to try to get to Erie, but I'm going to take the turnpike and go east. My intentions are try to get to Erie, but eventually, it's your direction where you're going. It's where you're going, not what your intentions are. Your direction in life. So if you're in a direction, in a space in your life where you're going in the wrong direction, God's saying, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to correct you and put you in a direction to follow me. That's what he wants for us. He wants us to help make these wise choices. Galatians 5:18, listen what it says. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. And so there's this new grace that's given to us because of what Christ did, is that we're given this Spirit to direct our paths, allows us to make wise choices in our lives. You think about your budget. Where is your money going? As Sam was saying, we get to pour into what we see here, this great, our students, our children. There's just this blessing that we have, but we can be wise with our money and put it that way. It actually truly is an act of worship when we give. And so the Holy Spirit, that we're called to be directed by the Holy Spirit. If I were to ask you right now, don't answer out loud, who is directing your life? Who is the director of your life? What would you say? What would you say? I mean, that's a good conversation at lunch. That's a good thing to journal down. Who is really truly directing your life? Is it yourself or is it the Holy Spirit? And that's what we're called to. We're called to let the Holy Spirit direct us. Look at Galatians 19 through 21. When you follow the desires of this sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, which we don't see a lot of that around here, but who knows? Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, and division. Verse 21, envy, the list keeps going. Drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so God has this standard, and the standard is holiness. He wants us to be like his son Jesus. He wants us to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. This is how the world lives, and we're called to be different than that. We're called to abandon that old lifestyle. We're called to surrender those things. And so often we give into those things that entangle us, that list. You know, you can go through and circle the ones you struggle with and say, God, this is where I need you to. I need to surrender that to you. I need more of your Spirit and less of myself. That's what we need to do. And I'm going to give you that opportunity to do that. That we're called to be led by the Spirit, not under the law. We're called to bring our lives and place them under God's law and in terms of walking with him. And it's more than like dealing with temptation, because all of us do. All of us deal with temptation. All of us deal with different struggles and that we're coming to. It's just a reality. You know, you have an enemy of our souls that wants to seek and destroy us, right? He wants to take us out. And often he'll do that through our families. He'll tell you you're not good enough. He'll bring up an addiction, right? He'll do all kinds of stuff, a relationship, whatever that looks like. But we're called to surrender and submit our lives to him. And it's more than just grit, and it's more than just determination, right? It's more than just self-control as well. That's part of it. But it really is this surrendering to the Holy Spirit, allowing him to fill us up, that he is the power in our lives, that we recognize that he's the power. Do you recognize the Holy Spirit as a power in your life, that you can overcome those things that you're dealing with? Most men deal with lust and anger. That's the top two. Pride I would throw in there as well, right? But are you letting the Holy Spirit guide you through and overcome those things, or are you trying to do it on your own? And listen, church, we've got to surrender these things to life, to have a life in Christ, to have a Holy Spirit-led life. There's a quote from Chris Hodges, who we kind of reminding us from this sermon series. He says this: temptation is a test of your relationship, not your self-control. I'm going to say that again. Temptation is a test of your relationship, not your self-control. And so when we think about our lives, we think about the temptations that we have. It's a test of our relationship with God, isn't it? Do we have the faith that we believe that God is who he says he is, or are we just kind of dealing with self-control? Because self-control is part of it, but really it's about our relationship with God. And God says this, he says, I want all of you. I want to have all of you, your heart, your mind, your fears. I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order that you would let me take control and guide you and give you wisdom how to deal with the temptations. So self-control is more focused on you and not on God, right? But when I'm so in love with God, when I'm so focused on God in my relationship with him, when I'm so focused on him, I'm not going to worry about sinning. That I'm going to stay focused on and loving and worshiping him. And you're saying, well, what happens when I fall? When you fall, repent, turn from it, and get back up. Go to God. Right? That's what we're called to. Don't stay there. Don't wallow in it. right? But get up, repent of it, and go the other way. So our relationship is so good. Listen, we want to be so Spirit-led that we want to be so focused on Christ that our relationship, that's what we care more about than filling our need to look at something or to have a drug or to have an alcohol thing or whatever it is, whatever that experience is, that we're so focused on God that that's what we care about. Are we more focused on God than we are ourselves? And so that's what we're called. Like in my marriage with Melanie, if I'm so in love with Melanie, I won't worry about other temptations in my life, that I'm gonna be so focused on her. If something could come my way, I'm like, nope, not gonna happen. I'm gonna stiff arm that thing, kick it out, slam the door, walk away. Whatever it is, I'm so focused on her. I'm gonna focus on this wedding ring that I have. That's part of the deal. So that's what it is. The temptation is not about how strong we are. The temptation is not like I'm a strong man. It's not, it's realizing you're weak. It's realizing you have weaknesses and you don't have the strength to do it, but the strength is coming because the Holy Spirit is in you, because Christ is your strength and weakness. That's where it comes from. And so it's about how strong you are in Christ and how aware you are of that you're Spirit-led and not led by your own unction or you know, grit. That's what we're called to do. So there's this other thing called the fruit of the Spirit, this fruit of the Spirit. And I love this in Galatians chapter 5, Paul's talking to them and saying, this is what it means to follow Christ. It means to walk in step with the Spirit. And as you do that, we looked at a list of things that are like, these are things you need to stay away from, run from, drunkenness, anger, etc. Like, those are the bad things. Then Paul follows it up, which I like this. And sometimes people only offer criticisms, right? But when you offer a criticism and then provide a solution, oh, that's such a refreshing thing. In Galatians 5:22 through 23, he says this, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. And you're thinking, what is my favorite fruit? And that's a good question to ask. It's peaches for me, by the way. But the Holy Spirit produces the kind of fruit in your lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And self-control. There is no law against these things. And so Paul is trying to get them to quit focusing and flee from those old ways and thoughts and patterns and habits they were in, and to focus on, this is what a life fully surrendered to Christ that is led by the Holy Spirit. When you have the Holy Spirit in you, these are the things that will come out of your life. These are the things that will come out of your life. Now, if we were to ask the question, the hard question right now, does your life produce those types of fruits on the screen behind? And I want more of that, and I know I fall short. I'm guilty of that. I want more of that. I want these things in my life. But I can only do that when I surrender to the Holy Spirit, and I recognize him, and then I can have this fruit. These are the things that are come out of me. In Galatians 5:22 through 23, it says this, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and desires of the sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. And so when we think about what Jesus did, he himself was nailed to the cross. He was nailed to the tree, that he did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And so when we think about our own struggles, our own temptations, our own fears, whatever that is, because of what Jesus did, they're essentially nailed to the cross. What a beautiful image that is. What a beautiful image that is. Verse 25, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. In every part of our lives. That in every part of our lives is the tricky part. That's the tension. Because that's, we might be doing like a good 80%, and that's recommend. Yeah, that's great, keep going. But that extra 20, that's what God wants to get into. He wants his Holy Spirit to just saturate your life. He wants to drive out those things that are causing you to not walk and look like Jesus. He wants us to be saturated and look more like his son, and to have that Spirit-filled and Spirit-led life in those areas of our lives. Every part of our life. Every part of our lives. Can you think of the part right now that you need Jesus to come and touch? Do you need the Spirit to fill your life and drive out those dark things, right? We're going to give you opportunity to do that, but I want you to think about that. Truly do that. Examine your heart. Examine your mind, your heart, your soul, and say, Jesus, this has no place in me. I want these fruits. fruit of the Spirit. And so the power of the Spirit is shown through the Holy Spirit, but it also comes out through the gifts that he gives each one of us. We saw talented musicians and singers here. We have ushers back there that have different gifts. We have some production team that has abilities, and everybody has different gifts, and those are things that are given to us by God for his purposes, is his glory. You know, we have needs in our church right now for people to serve. And I won't get into it. We're going to get into it next week for our Vision Sunday, but we need people to step up. We need more people in the game than sitting in the stands. And you have abilities and gifts that you can use for God's glory. And so listen, a tree is known by its fruit. If I look at an orange tree, it's producing, guess what, oranges. I can look at a pine tree and I can take some duct tape and I can do my best to just duct tape that apple to a pine tree. But over time, that it's not going to produce any fruit. As a matter of fact, that duct tape will probably kill that tree, I think. I don't know. I'm not someone that works with trees. You can imagine, all right, if it did. But a tree is known by its fruit. We can wear Christian t-shirts. We can put stickers on our car. We can post things on social media, right? But if you're truly not living it out, it's not there. God wants you to be, you want to be known how the fruit is in you. We want to be known by the love that is in us. We want to be known by someone that is Spirit-led, right? And so just because you're here this morning doesn't mean that you're a Spirit-led Christian, right? He wants that, though. He wants that. Don't miss it. He wants that for you. He wants that for you today. And so here's the thing. We're called to live by the Spirit. We're called to be known by the fruit of the Spirit. When life squeezes, if I squeeze this enough, eventually all that water is going to spill out and you're going to go, okay, that's water in there. When life squeezes you, what comes out? Is it that first list of stuff that I talked about, anger and pride and drunkenness, whatever it is? Or when you're squeezed, does peace come out? Does joy come out of you? What happens? And so you know the answer is God wants us to be like that second time. When we're squeezed, when life happens, when those hard times come, when those valleys are coming, when we're squeezed, what's coming out of our lives? God says, I want the fruit of the Spirit to come out of your life. It's not by your strength, but it's by the Holy Spirit. And so we can't do that on our own efforts. Here's a picture of a yield sign. The yield sign doesn't mean just blow through, right? It means to slow down a little bit. It means to maybe we let the other cars pass. But there's a process for us to yield to the Holy Spirit. And so when we're driving our cars, we just can't just see the yield sign and give us. You try to do that near the Ford pit, you're messed up. You're gonna call your insurance. You know, it's over. It's a bad day. But we're called to yield our lives. We're called to yield our lives to the Holy Spirit. Kind of get a temperature reading. What's going on? What are the check engine light things that are happening inside me? What is God trying to say? And that's the Holy Spirit saying, you need to yield to me right now. Maybe this morning you're sitting here and the Holy Spirit saying, I need you to yield to me this morning. We need to deal with some things in your heart. We need to deal with some issues that have been going on for a long time. Would you yield to me this morning? Holy Spirit just pulling and nudging, saying, I want to do business with you. And God says, I want you to have freedom this morning. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's you this morning. He wants you to yield your life to him. There's a Bible word that says we're walking in step. It's following line of who God is and what we're called to do. The choices we make through a Monday through a Saturday, you know, what do those look like? Are we yielding our lives truly to God? Are we the ones that are in control of everything? Are we the ones that are doing it? So we need to keep in step and yield our lives. Slow down. Take a look at life. Listen to your spouse. Listen to your kids. Listen to the scriptures. Maybe God has put Galatians 5 on you through different means throughout your life right now because he wants you to know something, right? I don't know what that looks like, but he wants you to yield to him. Are you yielding your life to the Holy Spirit? He wants to help provide care, and he wants to provide correction for you to look more like Jesus. The third one is this, is that we're called to find our purpose. We're called to find our purpose. In Galatians 5:13, it says this, for you have been called to live in freedom, brothers and sisters, and I said this before, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another. For the whole law can be summed up like this, love your neighbor as yourself. And so to be part of the body of Christ, to be part of the body of Christ is you're called to serve. You're called to serve. Not just maybe like, oh, you're like, well, I don't want. We're called to serve one another here in the church, but we're also called to serve the world that desperately needs us. Like, if you're going out to lunch with Pastor Gary, like, was it El Campesino? That's his jam, right? That's his spot. He chats up and loves on he just provides care, and he genuinely cares about the waiter or the waitress. He'll ask them questions. He'll ask them about he genuinely cares. He's there he's there to get his eat on, but he's also there to tell people about Jesus. Like, he's on mission. There's a purpose to what he's doing. Like, we might be there to talk about Liberia, but we're also there we're called to love our waitress, right? To provide care and not just serve me and leave her a 5% tip. Like, who does that, right? Christians, that's a woe. That's a woe moment. So we're called, we're called to find our purpose. And so often Christians are just wandering around aimlessly without purpose, without the power of the Holy Spirit, and they're just kind of doing things on their own. You're just like me in the lake with the rope around me, just swimming. And God says, I have a better purpose for you. I have a thing I want you to do. One is this, is that I want you to come and know who I am. I want a relationship with you. And then two, I have given you gifts and abilities that maybe you could be on the prayer team. Maybe you could serve in the production. Maybe you could serve with our BC kids. But I want you to be able to understand you have a purpose. Maybe your purpose right now is to just yield to the Holy Spirit and get your life centered and aligned with him again. And then maybe there's other steps that will happen. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." I'm going to read that again. We're thinking about finding purpose. And it says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." And here's the thing. When the Holy Spirit is in your life, when you're yielded to him, when you truly are submitting yourself in your life to him and your family, there's freedom there. And so when we're living a life yielded to the Holy Spirit, there is freedom. Do you need freedom this morning? Do you need freedom this morning? The prayer team's going to come. Our worship team's going to come. And I'm just going to invite you to stand right now. I'm going to invite you to stand. And listen, we are set free from these things. Listen, we are set free to love. We're set free from the past and all our past things and mistakes. We're called to love. We're called to serve. We're called to give generously. We're called to grow to become fully devoted followers of Jesus. We're called to make a difference in the world. We're called to have joy. We're called to have peace. We're called to live on purpose. Don't you want that in your life? And so listen, this morning, I'm going to invite you in this time. I'm going to invite you to come forward and say, listen, my life is not yielded to the Holy Spirit. There's an issue that I'm dealing with personally that I need to yield to the Holy Spirit. Or maybe this is that I feel so dry that in my life I've made so many decisions that have quenched the Holy Spirit like a hose. If you just make a hose have a bend in it, it can't flow properly. And our choices of what we did sometimes will cause the flow of the Holy Spirit not to function properly. And so listen, if you want prayer this morning, we're going to invite you to come. There are opportunities for you to grow in this. Even if you're walking faithfully and things are going well, I invite you to come forward and say, God, give me more power in my life. Help me to have develop and demonstrate more fruit in my life. I'm going to invite you to Growth Track today at 3 at our North Braddock campus. This is an opportunity for you to continue to grow. This is an opportunity for you to grow in your faith, grow in wisdom, grow in knowledge, yield your life to him, and watch what God will do. There's also a thing called victory and freedom. Literally in victory and freedom, you have the opportunity to go through the prodigal son. I've gone through it. And you deal and examine your relationship with your parents and things like that and the issues that you deal with. And then you're given an opportunity to nail and write down your struggles, those things that we just read about in Galatians 5, and nail them to the cross. And there's such victory and freedom in those moments. I want to encourage you to get to a victory and freedom. That's a great opportunity for you. And so here's the thing. As we pray, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to invite you to come forward. Just come down the middle aisle and go to one of our prayer team members, and we'd love to pray for you. And so, Father, I just pray right now I pray in this moment, Lord, that we would find true freedom from the sin and the struggles that we have. Each one of us deals with it. Lust, pride, anger, whatever it may be, Lord, help us to surrender now and just do business with you, to come forward, Lord, that we would yield our life to the Holy Spirit, that our lives would be more spirit-filled than self-filled, that we'd have your power and less of our unction and grit, that only can take us so far. So Lord, help us to live out that fruit of the Spirit that would be demonstrated in our lives, because over time, we'll be found out. People will see a tree doesn't lie. And so Father, help us to find our purpose in you. Help us to find our purpose in a relationship with you. Help us to find our purpose in the way we serve and how we love one another. And so come right now. I just pray, invite you forward. Just come right down the middle and get prayed over. And our prayer team would love to pray with you. Come forward. Come on now. Don't wait.